The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 16, Text Number 10, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on December 26, 2015, in Melbourne, Australia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tanu Dvija Varan Duhati Madhya Bhutani Alabdha Sharanani Cha Beda Budhya Dakshanti Agha Chata Drisha Hi Ahi Manyava Tam Gridra Rusha Mama Kushanti Abhidanda Netu Ye me tonor dvija daran duhatir madiya.
Ye me tonor dvija daran duhatir madiya.
Bhutanya labda sharanani chabedda budhya.
Bhutanya labda sharanani chabedda budhya.
Dakshan yagacha tadrisho yahimanya vashtan.
Dakshan yagacha tadrisho yahimanya vashtan.
Gridra vrishama mechuchan yadi dandanetu.
Gridra vrishama mechuchanti yadi dandanetu.
It flows better if when there's a Y at the end. Instead of saying like Bhutani, you would say Bhutan Yalabdha. You merge the Y into the next word. That makes it the rhythm work better.
Ye me tanur vijadaran duhatir madiya.
Ye me tanur vijadaran duhatir madiya.
Bhutan yalabdha sharanani chabedda budhya.
Bhutan yalabdha sharanani chabedda budhya.
Dakshyan yagacha tadrisho yahimanya vashtam.
Dakshyan yagacha
Gridra Rishama Machuchan Yabidandanetu.
Gridra Rishama Machuchan Yabidandanetu.
Yea. Which persons
may
my
Tanu
body Dvijavaran, the best of the Brahmins, Duhati. Cows. Madhya. Relating to me. Bhutani. Living entities. Alabdha
Sharanani.
Defenseless.
Cha.
And Beda Buddha.
Considering as different.
Dakshyanti.
See.
Agha. By sin. Chatta. Is impaired. Drisha, whose faculty of judgment,
like a snake,
Manyava, angry, Tam,
those same persons,
Gridra, the vulture like messengers, Rusha, angrily,
Mama.
My chutanti
tear
abhidandanetu
of the superintendent of punishment Yamaraj.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The Brahmins, the cows, and the defenseless creatures are my own body. Those whose faculty of judgment has been impaired by their own sin look upon these as distinct from me. They are just like furious serpents, and they are angrily torn apart by the bills of the vulture-like messengers of Yamaraj, the superintendent of sinful persons. Purport. The defenseless creatures, according to Brahma Samhita, are the cows, Brahmins, women, children, and old men. Of these five, the Brahmins and cows are especially mentioned in this verse because the Lord is always anxious about the benefit of the Brahmins and the cows and is prayed to in this way. The Lord especially instructs, therefore, that no one should be envious of these five, especially the cows and the Brahmins. In some of the Bhagavatam readings, the word duhatri is used instead of duhati. But in either case, the meaning is the same. Duhati means cow, and duhatri can also used to mean cow, because cow is supposed to be the daughter of the sun god. Just as children are taken care of by the parents, women as a class should be taken care of by the father, husband, or grown-up sons. Those who are helpless must be taken care of by their respective guardians, otherwise the guardians will be subjected to the punishment of Yamaraj, who was appointed by the Lord to supervise the activities of sinful living creatures. The assistants or messengers of Yamaraj are likened here to vultures, and those who do not execute their respective duties in protecting their wards are compared to serpents. Vultures deal very seriously with serpents, and similarly, the messengers will deal very seriously with neglectful guardians.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Bharidana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gaudavani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshotarine.
So the guardians are meant to guard the spiritual lives of their dependents. The guru, the father, the mother, the government leaders, even Prabhupada includes friends in this list. One should not become a guru, should not become a father, should not become a mother, should not become any kind of leader, even a friend of someone, unless you can deliver them from birth and death. If one abuses his relationship as a leader, it's stated here they become dealt with very seriously by the Yamadutas. And that is the position of the modern day society. The leaders are grossly abusing their positions, whether it's father, mother, teacher, government leader, or whatever it may be. They are grossly abusing their positions for material sense gratification. Therefore, they're going to face very, very severe punishment from the Yamadutas. The mission of our Krishna consciousness movement is to actually reestablish the proper principles of how one should be a leader. Leadership means to help that person to get free from birth and death. Otherwise, your leadership is a joke. It's a complete rascal nonsense thing, you see. How to liberate from the cycle of birth and death, that is the process of Krishna consciousness. It's described in Bhagavad Gita in great detail. It's not some secret esoteric thing. It's clearly stated in the Gita. Manmana bhavat bhakto majajimang namaskaru mam mai bhashashi yugdvayavang atmanang matparayanaha. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. Absorb yourself in me. Offer your obeisances to me. In this way you will come to me. What do these rascal leaders do? These academic leaders? They mistranslate that verse. They say, engage your mind always in thinking of Krishna, become his devotee, absorb yourself in Krishna. In this way, become Krishna. I have seen. From right there in the Bhagavad Gita, so-called Bhagavad Gita, they're saying, you do this and you become Krishna. You see, this is the caliber of academic leadership, the scholars, you see. The scholars, the politicians, they're all birds of the same feather. They're simply rascals because they're not connecting their followers with Krishna. Therefore, the whole society is becoming more and more crazy. Every day it's becoming more and more disintegrated. Like the poet Yeats wrote, things fall apart, the center cannot hold, mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. That is what we are seeing, because there's no Krishna conscious leadership. There's no Parikshit Maharaj. The government is government leaders. You see. There's no proper Brahmin class. Everything is topsy-turvy. Everything has become dismantled. The only hope is this movement, the Krishna conscious movement. Therefore, we have to understand what is our duty. We have to take our responsibility very, very seriously. Prabhupada said the mission of this movement is to save the world from irreligion. What they call religion nowadays is not religion. Even the so-called faithful of the different faiths, they are approaching God simply to gratify their own desires. Give me this, give me that, give me, give me, give me. That's not love of God. That's love of whatever they're asking for. Religion has become an unknown thing. Real religion is not even understood by the people. They don't know what religion means. So this Krishna consciousness movement has to defeat atheism. It has to establish real religion. And then the whole world can become peaceful and happy and prosperous. All this turmoil, all these problems going on, the pollution, the terrorism, the abuse of children, the abuse of the cows, all of these things will go away if we bring Krishna consciousness as the guiding principle of the entire human society. So how will we convince them? That's the question. It's very difficult to convince them. They are so completely enamored by atheism or by material religion, so-called religion, that they can't take the real thing. How do we convince them? Well, at least we have to be convinced. That's the starting principle. We have to be absolutely, totally convinced that Krishna is indeed the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that we are his eternal servants, and there is no happiness whatsoever in this material world. We have to be ourselves convinced of this, completely sold on the fact that you can't enjoy in this material world. You see? And that the only happiness that one can derive here is by connecting with Krishna. If our conviction is strong, then we can convince everyone. We simply have to increase our own conviction. Therefore, these books of the utmost importance to carefully read, study, and understand what is in these books is absolutely essential. We have so much philosophical, psychological crud floating around our psyches, and we have to clean it out by putting transcendental knowledge there instead. Replace your ignorance with Krishna conscious philosophy, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's teachings, Krishna's name. All of these things have to become very, very prominent in the consciousness to root out all the garbage, all the crud that's accumulated over thousands and millions of lifetimes. So we can come out of the cloud of tamagun, come out of the cloud of rajagun, and actually be situated in pure goodness. That is the natural position for the soul. The soul has nothing to do with this body. The soul is completely distinct from the body, but we're so caught up now in the body. As soon as the body is subjected to some sickness or disease, our consciousness is affected because we're very much misidentifying with these bodies. So by intensely absorbing ourselves in Krishna consciousness, by intensely absorbing ourselves in the holy names, by intensely absorbing ourselves in Krishna Katha, all of this misidentification tendency can be cleansed from the heart, expunged, so we can actually awaken to our eternal identities as the servants of Krishna. This is essential. This will bring us to a liberated position. Even the neophyte devotee, if he takes it very seriously, without any deviation, he's as good as liberated, even as a neophyte devotee. It's compared to a mango. You have a very nice mango, it may be ripe, it may not be ripe, but you have the mango, you see. So a neophyte devotee who has taken seriously this process, he has the mango. He already has liberation within the palm of his hand. You see. Just take some time for it to ripen, that's all. So we have the mango. Prabhupada has given us the mango. Now don't bruise it. Don't lose it. You see. Take this treasure of Krishna consciousness as the greatest boon you have ever received in millions and billions of lifetimes, and guard it as the greatest treasure, never to lose it. We're being tested again and again and again. There's so many material objects of sense gratification being offered to us every day on the internet, or walking down the street, or looking in a magazine or a billboard. Constantly we're being bombarded with objects of sense gratification to pull our minds away from Krishna. So we have to have absolute conviction. This stuff is not enjoyable. There's material sense gratification is not enjoyable. It's not. It's just a trick of Maya. The trick of Maya. We have to have complete conviction. I cannot enjoy this material body. It's not enjoyable. The only real enjoyment for the living entity is to reconnect with Krishna. That conviction must become very, very strong to override all the temptations being offered by the material energy day after day after day after day. Maya will try to attract us in many ways. She's testing us to see if we're really qualified to enter the spiritual world. You see, if we have some enjoying tendency, we're not qualified to enter the spiritual world. Maya's testing us. What about this? Why don't you try to enjoy this? Why don't you try to enjoy that? You see, she's testing us. But when we've passed all of Maya's tests, she will help us to become Krishna conscious. She's Krishna's pure devotee. She's there to test us. that no nonsense are allowed in the spiritual world. So let us not be nonsense. Let us be very serious about Krishna consciousness. How can I become the pure devotee of Krishna? How can I awaken that dormant love of God that's sitting within the heart? You see, this should be our focus. Otherwise, we may face these vulture-like messengers of Yamaraj. So there's some questions. Just before Srimad Bhagavatam class, while offering prayers to Srila Prabhupada, this is a disciple in the mood of love. Just by seeing you, how deep with love and devotion you are offering your pranams to you, Srila Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada. I see I have no hope to reach that level, but surely I want to develop that much love you have for Prabhupada. How can I do that? It's very simple. Just feel yourself very fallen and beg for the mercy. Prabhupada considered himself fallen. If you read his prayers to Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he said, "Save me a fallen, your divine grace." So that if you want to know how to really take shot of your spiritual master, always think you're fallen and beg for the mercy. "My dear Guru Maharaj, I'm a fallen soul. I'm struggling like anything to these material desires. My dear spiritual master, please save me." You see? That's the mood. That's how I was praying to Prabhupada this morning, actually. You see? That's what Prabhupada taught us, how to pray. You see? "Save me a fallen, your divine grace." You see? "Save me." That's how we approach our spiritual master. "I'm a fallen soul. Please save me." Can you please comment on devotees who rely on social security benefits from unemployment to support themselves without trying to find employment in society? How does one view devotees in those situations? If one is fully absorbed in devotional service, is actually not a lazy person, but is working very hard to push for this movement, we don't care how whether they're supported by the government or not. But if one is a lazy fellow engaging in sense gratification, being supported by the government, it's not good. If you're actually fully absorbed in the devotional service, it's being supported by the Australian government. The Australian government gets a gata sukriti by supporting you. You see? But if you're using it for sense gratification, then you go to hell and they go to hell. So don't, if you get any facility like that, you must fully absorb in Krishna. You must rise early in the morning, Mangal Arati, a full devotional life, 24 hours of devotion. What shall I do if I am assigned a service which I'm not capable to do? Well, learn how to do it. Sincerely do your best to try to learn how to do the service. Krishna says, "I am the ability in man." So if you connect with Krishna, you'll be surprised what you can do and what you can't do. What should a new junior devotee do when he sees that other senior devotees are doing discrimination between senior and junior devotees? He should be a good junior devotee. Because there is a difference. According to our scriptures, you treat your seniors in one way, your equals in one way, and your juniors in another way. You're supposed to discriminate. That's the Shastra says. You're supposed to distinguish between them and deal with them differently. Krishna himself shows the example. And where did he show that example?
Like, he will bow down to Yudhishthira. He will embrace Arjuna and Bhima.
He embraces equals, he'll bow down to his superiors. So these distinctions are there. Don't think, well, that's not democratic. We're not democracy here. This is theocracy. Krishna is the supreme and we're all his servants and we follow his instructions. That's it. You don't get this idea that everything is the same. It's not. There are distinctions. We're spiritually the same, but externally there are differences. And we have the ladies on one side of the room, the men on the other. Even though spiritually we're one, because of the material bodies, we make distinctions. Those distinctions are also important to help purify our consciousness. How to conquer lust? By developing love of Krishna. Because once you get a taste for the holy name, sex doesn't compare with it. One pure utterance of Hare Krishna is better than having 10 million sexual intercourse experiences. One pure utterance of Krishna. So one can easily give up lust if he takes shelter of Krishna's name. Please explain the 10th offense while chanting. Why we don't understand even after listening to so many instructions. To maintain material attachments even after having heard so many instructions on this matter. The reason we maintain material attachments is we are not becoming attached to Krishna. We're more interested in what kind of prestige I can have in the society of devotees. You see, that's more important than our Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we have to realize, the most important thing is my Krishna consciousness. That's more important than anything else. How much feeling do I have about Krishna? How much attachment do I have to his holy name? That's the most important thing. Can we do something practical for the cow protection living in the urban civilization? You can donate money to cow protection projects. How to remain servant of servants having a leadership role? The leader has to be the best servant. Leader means the servant of everyone. That's the leader. He has to be the best of all the servants. Sometimes the devotees ignore me and it disturbs me for some time. You think you're worthy of being worshipped? Well, actually you are in one sense, but you shouldn't think you are. Actually, every devotee is worshipable. But he should not think he's worshipable. You understand? You're being ignored. That's Krishna's special mercy to make you humble. Good again. A nice example is Bhakti Tirtha Swami. When he was Gyanasham Das Brahmachari, he was doing a very heroic thing, is going behind the Iron Curtain, distributing full sets of books to the scholars, risking being arrested by communistic governments. Very daring young man he was. And he came to London where Prabhupada was there, and Prabhupada really opened his heart to him, gave him all kinds of special mercy. I forget the exactly described how what Prabhupada said, but Prabhupada really poured out the mercy. And the next day, he was thinking, he got so much recognition from Prabhupada the first day, he thought, oh no, Prabhupada will recognize me again. The second day, it wasn't like he didn't even exist. You see? And Prabhupada is paying attention to other devotees. He felt completely ignored by Prabhupada the second day. But he understood this was a lesson. So if you're being ignored, that's a lesson. Don't get angry. They're ignoring me. Actually, what is your position? You should think you're lower than the straw in the street. That's the position. Am I duty bound to recognize a piece of straw in the street? Well, you're lower than that. You understand? That's how we should feel about ourselves. I don't deserve any recognition. The one who actually feels that way becomes the most recognized of all devotees. For those who desire recognition, they're not recognized very much. You see? You understand? Thank you. My question is how to remain stable in bhakti. 16 rounds, four regulative principles, rising early in the morning, avoid the 10 offenses, focus on these things, and you'll become very stable. how to keep ourselves away from unnecessary worries and thoughts. Just focus on the necessary worries and thoughts. Like how to become Krishna conscious and how to make the world Krishna conscious. These are our worries. We have transcendental worries. How can I become Krishna conscious? And how can I do my duty to spread this movement to the suffering souls of this planet? These things we must be worried about. And then the other worries will go away. How can I balance my scripture study and other services? It's very simple. Prabhupada gave us the formula. He said, you must study 24 hours a day. And you must be do service 24 hours a day. There's your balance. Well, what does that mean, you could ask? How can I study 24 hours a day and do service 24 hours a day? Well, you ever take chemistry in high school? There's the lecture and there's the lab, you see? Whether you're in the lecture or in the lab, you're studying chemistry, you see? So service is the lab. You study the science of bhakti and then you put it into practice. Now you're in the laboratory actually doing it. And you'll be observing how it works while you're doing it. Because I studied how it works and now I'm doing it. So that's also study. You can study, be constantly in a mood of study while you're doing service. Krishna says I should do the service like this, and if I do that, I will get this result. Well, let me study. How am I doing it in the right mood? You have to be introspective. Introspectiveness means studiousness. You have to be studious. In what mood am I doing this service? Am I doing it in the proper mood according to the books? And this way you can study 24 hours even when you're not reading. You study your own mood and see is it matching what's in the books. So yes, you can study and do service 24 hours a day. I remember in one temple, the temple commander was pretty hard line. He said, it's Maya to read Prabhupada's books. Oh, you have to always be doing service. If you sit down to read, you're in Maya. So in the Bhagavatam class, I asked the temple president, I said, is it Maya to read Prabhupada's books? And then he said, you must study one half hour every day. And he always, did you study a half hour? The temple president was always asking me, you studied your half hour today? He ordered me, I had to study a half hour every day. So we have our study time, the classes, but you have to find the time somehow or other by reducing your eating and sleeping, whatever you have to do. Your duty is to read every one of Prabhupada's books cover to cover at least once. At least once. Prabhupada said, all of my followers must read all of my books or they will fall down. So somehow or other you have to find time to read all the Prabhupada's books. I asked this question in Pune. There's about 300 brahmacharis. I asked the brahmacharis, how many of you read all the Prabhupada's books? Well, only one of them raised their hand. There was 299 who had not. So in that room, there was only two of us. There was me and that one brahmachari who read all of the books. And now, I went back a year later, now two of them have read all the books. So we're making some progress. So you need to read all of the books, every one of them, that Prabhupada has authored. Nectar Devotion, Krishna Book, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, every book that Prabhupada directly authored, those books you must read. Every one of you must read all of those books. I've heard people say that Islam is not a bona fide religion because it comes of a person and not God. Is it so? And can you please give some background on its origin? Well, you might be interested to hear that Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur accepted Hazrat Muhammad as a Shaktavesh avatar. And along with Lord Jesus and Lord Buddha. So, basically what's happening is people are misunderstanding and misapplying the teachings of Buddha, of Jesus, and Muhammad. They're misapplying their teachings. I just read yesterday in the Veda base, Prabhupada is saying that a Muslim must follow the Quran. It's his duty. He should do that. But they are misinterpreting and misapplying these things to create justification for their own sense gratification. The Buddhists are doing it. The Hindus do it. Everyone does it. It's called Kaitava Dharma, cheating religion. You take the scripture and you use it to justify your own agenda for sense gratification. That is not religion. That is irreligion masquerading as religion. The Muslims do it. The Christians do it. The Hindus do it. The Jews do it. The Sikhs. Everyone does it. It's the common disease now on this planet. Everyone's guilty of it. Muslims, Christians, Jews, Hindus, Sikhs, Jains. Everyone's guilty of it. So Prabhupada is making a very clear distinction. Actually, Bhagavatam is making a very clear distinction. What is that second verse? How does that begin? Bhagavatam 1.1.2. Do you know how that begins, Devi? How does that begin, 1.1.2? Devi? The second verse? Huh? How does the second verse of the Bhagavatam begin? Dharma prajjata kaitava tarpanamo narmatsaranam satam vajjam vastamatashavidevadam sanatsato namanulayam. In this way, dharma prajjata kaitava paramo narmatsaranam satam vajjam vastamatashavidevadam tapatayam nulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamani Kritim Vaikare Rishvarah Sanjahridharujyate Kratibhishu Shushabhistachanat. Completely rejecting all religion that is materially motivated, this Bhagavad Purana propounds the highest truth, which is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. Those persons, in this way, it's described. So Bhagavatam cuts through this pseudo-religion, whether it's Hinduism, Christianity, Islam, or whatever it be, all this pseudo-religion out there, you see. It cuts through it. Because religion is meant, religion means to relink, relig. It comes from the Latin word religio, to relink with the Supreme Person. Whether you call him Allah or Buddha or Christ, whatever, that's not the issue. You have to relink with that Supreme Person by complete surrender to him, you see. So that they're not doing. In the name of God, they go on doing all nonsense. It's like in the name of God, they pass out all the turkeys on Thanksgiving in the U.S. Give the poor the turkeys on Thanksgiving Day. So much ignorance is going on in the name of religion. So we have to establish real religion. You see, someone says, "What religion do you belong to? Are you a Hindu, a Sikh, a Jain, a Buddhist? What?" Actually, we accept all religions. We're members. Someone asked one time, I was in the Toronto airport. A little girl said, "Are you a Muslim?" And I said, "I'm a perfect Muslim." You see. So the Krishna consciousness is the perfection of all religions. You're the perfect Muslim, the perfect Christian, the perfect Buddhist, the perfect Jew, the perfect Sikh. One who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, they're perfect in all religions. Because the essence of all religion is to develop pure love of God. But they don't know that. They abuse the name of these things for their material sense gratification. Therefore, we have to straighten the world out. It's our duty. We've got to straighten the whole world out right now. I don't feel I have realized Krishna. Jai, that's how you begin to realize Krishna. I haven't realized him. That's how you begin to realize Krishna. How then can I help anyone else realize Krishna? You have to know what is the process of realizing Krishna and be engaged in the process of realizing Krishna. And then you can help other people to do exactly the same thing that you're doing. The fact is, you have realized Krishna. Otherwise, why are you here? Are we paying you to be here? Is anybody paid to be here this morning? Anybody get paid to sit in this room for hearing this class? We're here because we have some realization. This I should do. I have to awaken my love of Krishna. I must come and hear Bhagavatam. You have realization. You do. The few you don't have it, that's a very good realization. So whatever you have realized, you share that. And certainly you've realized something. Should I get Srimad Bhagavatam in my home if I'm not going to read it? You get it in your home and you read it. What is this nonsense? I'm not going to read it. That's nonsense. That's an offense against Srila Prabhupada. I'm not going to read Bhagavatam. What kind of nonsense is that? You get the Bhagavatam in your home and you read it. How should a devotee live simply? How a devotee should think always of consuming less materials? The real thing is to engage everything in Krishna's service. Whether you have a little or you have a lot, whether you're a brahmachari just living with this, you know, a little sleeping bag and a sushi kit, or you're a householder with 5 bedrooms and 6 kids, that doesn't really matter. The real thing is, are you engaging everything in Krishna's service? That's what you really have to focus on. You see? Prabhupada said a wealthy man doesn't have to live in a shack. He can build a temple and have him live in the temple. You see? So it's not a matter of, you know, giving up material possessions. It's a matter of engaging everything in the service of Krishna. Whatever you can engage in Krishna's service, that you can keep. I need advice. I feel a bit stuck in the brahmachari ashram. I need more communication with management. Otherwise, I feel like someone's slave. Well, you need to have a meeting with the Hariruddha Prabhu. Simple thing. Go for a meeting. Tell him what's going on. Just have him arrange for a meeting with Hariruddha Prabhu. Could you please enlighten us in what should be our mood today when bathing their lordship? This is Krishna himself. That you have to remember. This is Krishna himself. For his pleasure, I'm bathing him. Since there is no parampara in most of the religions, it is wrong to be following any of these practices. Most of them are likely going to misinterpret it. Yeah, it's a difficulty. The parampara idea is there in Christianity, the popes, but you know, they're obviously off the track when they're eating meat, which is against the core principles that Christ taught. So this is a situation where the idea of parampara is there, but the parampara is broken. This is why if they really want to become a perfect Christian or a perfect Jew or a perfect Sikh or a perfect Muslim or a perfect Jain, etc., they should take Prabhupada's books and tell them how to do that. Because this is the empowered parampara system. How much necessary is it to have Prabhupada's, all the Prabhupada books at home? It's absolutely necessary. Every householder should have a library with every one of Prabhupada's books in it. That way you'll read them. If you don't have them, how will you read them? I don't feel like doing anything other than Krishna Katha. Please tell me how to balance. What do you want to balance it with? Mundane Katha? You should do Krishna Katha. Your whole life should be Krishna Katha, 24/7. Hearing and chanting about Krishna by your thoughts, by your words, and by your deeds. Please stay always absorbed. Much chitta madgata prana bodhayantak padaspadam katayantashtamam nyacham tashyanticha vramanticha. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me, their lives are surrendered unto me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss by enlightening one another and conversing about me. So doing devotional service is doing Krishna Katha with your body, whether you're sweeping the floor or cleaning a toilet. Whatever you're doing, that is also Krishna Katha, by your body. How good is attending the kirtans but not dancing? Well, you get half benefit at least. But for the full benefit, you should also dance. If you're an old person, you can dance a little bit, you know. If you're a young person, you can, you know, according to your body, you can dance. But everyone should dance a little bit, yeah.
Are we dancing with the kirtan or are we dancing with the music?
Yeah, are we dancing to the holy name or are we just dancing with the beat of the drum?
That we can test when the kirtan is very meditative. Are we dancing that time or just when the beats are high? Then we are dancing.
So the question is, am I more into this, into the music, or am I more into the holy names? We have to really, you have to keep our fixity on the holy name, that's the thing. Why do you criticize sex so much? What's wrong? What's wrong in it? Actually, I don't criticize sex at all. I'm just repeating what the Bhagavatam said. The Bhagavatam criticizes it. Yan maitanadi griha medi sukham mitu cham. The Sanskrit word for sexual intercourse is maitun. That pleasure, sexual intercourse, which is the number one pleasure for the householders, is simply insignificant. Itu cham. It is 10th class at best.
Griha medis.
Huh?
Not householders, but griha medis.
Yeah. For materialistic householders. Yan maitanadi griha medi sukham. That which is the number one pleasure for the materialistic householders is indeed 10th class. That's how Prabhupada translated it. Titu cham, 10th class. Insignificant. So, why do we criticize it so much? Because right now, as Freud confirms, everything is spinning on sex life and material life. It's all spinning on sex desire. Look at all the advertisements. You see, they advertise everything with sex. I remember they had a toothpaste. What was that called? I remember the old ad when I was a kid. New Ultrabite toothpaste gives your mouth sex appeal. You see? I mean, they're promoting it. Sex, sex, sex. Why? Because they don't have the pleasure of Krishna consciousness. So they have to have something. So they elevate sex life to being the greatest thing. All the pop songs, you know, just all sex. Sex, almost all of it is sex. Everywhere. And it's horrible. In the movies, on the airplane, sometimes, you know, the people are watching the movie. I don't watch them, but you walk by and you catch a glimpse of what's on the screen. It's horrible. This is the standard entertainment now. Even for kids, they're watching this stuff, you see. The whole society is spinning on sexual intercourse as the greatest pleasure. But actually, it is insignificant. It is given a sensation of pleasure so that we can, or we will, agree to procreate. Otherwise, nobody won't even have children at all. You see, it's so much austerity in raising children that is counteracted by the pleasure of sex, Prabhupada explains. So, this, to be detached from sex life, is absolutely essential. In this movement, we're all brahmacharis here. We have five kinds of brahmacharis. We got sannyasi brahmacharis, vanaprastha brahmacharis, grihastha brahmacharis, brahmacharini brahmacharis, and brahmachari brahmacharis. We are all detached from sex life here. You see? Even the householders, the rule is they only have sex for procreation once in a month after both chanting 50 rounds of japa and getting the blessings of their spiritual master. Otherwise, householders do not indulge in sex. They are also brahmacharis. That is the instruction of Prabhupada. That's how Prabhupada trained us, you see. Grihastha means he only has sex for procreation. Therefore, he is also a brahmachari. The fact is, this Krishna consciousness is much more pleasurable than sex. I remember, I've told this story many times, but one time when I was a brahmachari in our Miami temple, there was one householder couple, they think we'd like to have a kid, according to Prabhupada's instructions, so we'll chant 50 rounds. Prabhupada says that we wait for the most fertile day of the month, just after the menstrual cycle. of the lady, and then you chant 50 rounds with the spiritual master's blessings. So they did that. They chanted the 50 rounds, and then, but then, the next morning, the devotee told me, he said, you know, my wife and I, we chanted 50 rounds last night. We were going to try to have a kid, but then we were so enlivened by the holy name, we thought, let's wait till next month. You see? So the fact is, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare, is much better than sex. You see? You don't need sex. All you need is Hare Krishna. All you need is Krishna. You see? Like George said in his book, Introduction to the Krishna book, all you need is Krishna. You see? That's all you need. You don't need sex. Sex is there if you want to have children. Otherwise, to engage in sex life other than trying to have children is demoniac. Don't break your initiation vows. You see? Initiation means no illicit sex. And I remember one of my disciples at the initiation ceremony, you asked what the four principles are. She said, no sex outside of marriage. I said, nope, that's not right. And I had to correct her in the initiation ceremony. No sex outside of marriage, she said. That's not the rule. The rule is no illicit sex. Any sex other than for procreation is illicit, and it will ruin your Krishna consciousness. So yes, I don't criticize it at all. I'm neutral, but I'm a reporter for the Bhagavatam. And the Bhagavatam says it's no good. If you don't use it for procreation, it's no good. But Gita also says, Krishna says, I am that sex life which is not against religious principles. So we glorify that sex which is for producing children, according to producing saintly children, we glorify that sex as a holy sacrament. Is it? We glorify that sex. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakura said, I'm prepared to have sex life 100 times if I can produce saintly children. So we're great advocates. Transcendental sex ki jai. You see, we're great advocates of transcendental sex. But sex for sense gratification is the most deluding, bewildering, polluting thing you can ever do. So don't do it. You got to be brahmachari. Prabhupada describes how the householders in Bengali culture, they would live in separate quarters of the house. They wouldn't sleep in the same room with their wives. That frees one from temptation if you're not sleeping in the same room. So we're very critical of this sex life. This mundane sex life. We're very, very critical. Because we're repeating, I'm repeating the criticisms of the great acharyas and of the scriptures. You see, I'm simply repeating. You can't say I'm critical of sex. I'm not. I'm neutral. I'm just a reporter of what's being stated by the acharyas and what's being stated in the scriptures. So that was the last question. And so we'll go ahead and stop here. We thank you all very, very much for coming. We're just delighted you're all here today. We love you. And may Krishna bless you with an ecstatic, eternal existence in His service. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you, Srimad Sankirtan Dasa Dakari ki jai.